Well, I thought today we'd have a look at a question that a lot of people haven't answered in their lives, in our community, and that, who is this man Jesus? Who is he? So let's look at that theme perhaps. We go to John, if you've got your Bibles around. John chapter 8, verse 28 says, hold on, yes, the Pharisees were giving Jesus a hard time, and they wanted him to sort of say who he was, and Jesus said to them, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but my Father taught me, I speak these things. Anyway, then in verse 58, they were still at him for different things. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Remember in the Bible where God spoke to Moses, wasn't it? And he said, what's your name? God says, what have I need a name for? I just am. He said, I am. It's God, so he was the Son of God. Chapter 9, verse 36. This is the story about the blind man that Jesus told to go and wash his eyes in the pool of Siloam. And then the Pharisees got to him and they were grilling him for what went on. And Jesus heard that they'd cast him out of the temple. Then he found him and he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? That's a great question for us, isn't it? Who is he? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him and it is I who is talking with you. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into the world that those who do not see may see, and those who may see may be made blind. There are none so blind as those that cannot see, right? Yeah. So Jesus is our judge. Then we go to chapter 11. Verse 25. This is this famous verse that we've read a thousand times, I guess, for Christians. Jesus said to her that was Martha, I'm the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me, though he were dead, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? You've read the story about it, of course. Do you believe that? She said, yeah, of course I do. Yeah. So it said, right, move. Roll the stone away. She said, well, he'd be dead 4 days and all this. He said, didn't I tell you if you would believe? Yeah. Then in chapter 6, we read this, chapter 6, verse 40. Jesus was up around Capernaum, I think, and the Jews complained about him because he said, I'm the bread of life that come down from heaven and whatever. And verse 42 says, and they say, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How come he says, I've come down from heaven? See, they thought they knew who he was. But that's not it, is it? And in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, we should do that too, I suppose. Better read that. Matthew 16. Verse 13, it says, Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And Jesus said to them then, "But who do you say that I am?" And it's this famous verse that Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon by Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father is in heaven." Right. I'm sorry I'm chopping around all over the place, but that's what we're doing. Back in John, verse 65, I think I've got it right. And he said, "Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father." He also says somewhere, "That he comes to me, I will no wise cast out." Jesus is the Son of God. He's the only begotten Son of God. Talks of in the Bible that there is, God has got many sons, but there's only one Son that he has begotten. And in doing so, he has become a brother to the human race. He has taken on our likeness, and he's got a body that he will have for always related to us. That's why he says you can call him a brother. He is also our priest. So it talks into the Bible, he's a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Back in the Old Testament, in Abraham's day, Melchizedek was the king of Salem. And the Bible says he was a priest of the Most High God. And he met and blessed Abraham. He's very, king of Salem means king of peace. And it says there that he had neither beginning of days or end of life. Is a priest that lived forever. The priests that were given by the law in Moses' day were merely men, and they were limited by the fact that they could only be so until they died. But the order of Melchizedek is eternal, and Jesus is our high priest forever. And they had to make sacrifices at that time for all their sins and for sins of the people. But Jesus made our sacrifice of himself once and for all for our sin. The innocent for the guilty. Us being the guilty one. So Jesus is our priest, our saviour and God. Friend, in John 15:13 we read, Jesus is our friend, not a servant. I find it hard to understand, really, that the creator of the whole of the universe would want to be a friend of me. That's amazing, isn't it? He's our brother. He's our restorer. He is our resurrection. He is our life. He's our passage to heaven. He's our redeemer. In the Old Testament law, when they got the firstborn of the flock, they had to either do two things. They had to either kill it or redeem it, as it belonged to God. They had to buy it back and redeem it. God was trying to tell them the cost of redemption. And it cost God so much to buy us back. And the question still arises today, who is this man Jesus? Today people still don't know who he is. They swear, they call his name in vain, but him they don't know. Yet somehow they still think that, you know, she'll be all right in the end. I was talking to my cousin, who's a chaplain too, or has been, and he was talking about this thing. Go to funerals and people were, you know, they talk about the he who's been alive and has died and he's gone and gone to that great golf course in the sky and or they going to a great fishing spot wherever it is in the sky and they're looking down on us and to see if we're keeping up doing the same. They think it's all going to be right in the end, but it's not the way I see it in the Bible. Without knowing Jesus, the God, though he was the author of life, the creator of the universe, our maker, he became a man like us, his creation to pay the death penalty that we brought on ourselves through the disobedience and sin in order to gain us as his friends for all eternity. You know, we must share this good news. Satan is doing his intensified best at the moment, I think, to see that not many people find out about it. It truly is a treasure. And the Bible talks about that. We have a treasure in earthen vessels. That means that we have Jesus in our heart. We've got really have a treasure. Jesus told about a man who found treasure in a field and that he sold all he had to buy that field and so obtain the treasure. I kept thinking about that on our trip to Queensland as it was kind of exciting to find a gemstone that you've just dug out of the ground. And a friend of mine who I met on a holiday was actually it was unbelievable. They parked the caravan next to us. Twins they were. And I'd served with them in Vietnam. And hadn't seen them for 50 years. It's good. But one of them was an opal buyer, or had been for 20 years. And he pulled out of his pocket a piece of opal, about that long, about that wide. Most beautiful stone I've ever seen. It was clear, and in it there was every colour of the rainbow. And he said it's worth about $20,000. Yeah, never seen anything like it. Then there's a story of the pearl of great price that someone found, and a joker sold all he had just to have it. We have treasure that's better than that. So how do you put a price on things like forgiveness of your sin, dealt with, a home in heaven where we're forever young, and that life goes on forever, where there's no pain, there's no sorrow, worry, grief? That is treasure. Who is this man Jesus that dared die for me? He's God. A little boy in that book I read called Heaven is for Real. Who's ever read that? there's a poor old man who's a Christian fellow, but he was in hospital and he was dying, and he was in this bed, and he seemed to be having such a worrying time. And the little kid went up to him and said, "Cheer up. First person you'll see is Jesus." You want to do that for an exercise? Look up people's after death experiences on the net and see what you find. First person they see is Jesus. Yeah. Well, who is Jesus to you? Is he just a good man that went about doing good? A lot of people have said that. I've heard of people saying, "It's a good man. He went about doing good," and they think that they're going to get there too. That I've been good. I haven't really killed anybody. I'll be all right. I'll take my chances. But the people don't know him, for the things of God are spiritually discerned. It says we should pray that the eyes of people around us in this district anyway be opened, that they may see. Because when we stand before him, he's not going to ask, "Have you been good?" The question is going to be, "What have you done with the sacrifice that I made for you? I paid your price." So go back a bit. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the I Am. He is God. He says that he was with the world, with the God before the world was made. He is our Lord. He's the pruner of our branches. He's our provider, our protector. I remember once in Vietnam with the backhoe tearing a mortar bomb clean in halves. If it had went off, I never dare to think. But it didn't. He's the bread of life. He is our judge. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is our priest. He is our sacrifice. Jesus is our friend. He is our brother. He is our restorer. He is our resurrection. He is our life. He's our passage to heaven, our Redeemer. He's the author of life. He's the creator of the universe, our maker, our saviour, and our treasure.